Welcome into KJF Sports Talk, Golf and More with Mike Murphy and Matt Greenwood.
Oh my gosh, is that the introduction?
Yeah, this is my golf voice, my play-by-play golf voice.
Yeah, it sounds it sounds a little more like the Masters or the U.S. Open.
Yes, exactly.
You got to kind of whisper through the mic.
You really do.
So that people understand that you're being polite to the people that are putting on the 18th green.
Yes, I'm being very polite right now.
Well, you don't sound like a baseball announcer. Yeah, it sounds great.
No, we don't want to hear that, not right now.
No.
It'd be too loud.
I agree.
After we just introed with that music there, Mike. And
well, I was gonna talk to you about the intro of the music. I would appreciate some Motown.
You know what? I'm gonna put together a Motown list for you and me.
That'd be
great.
I'm
gonna set up a hotkey page of all Motown hits. You know, some instrumental intros, and we're gonna dance while we talk about golf.
Yeah, we can go. There's a lot of things that I could suggest. It goes back into the late 50s and early 60s. And the Motown sound is still big, so we'll try one on an intro sometime, and we'll keep our voice very calm.
Yes, very, very,
very calm,
Mike Murphy.
Right, good enough. Well done.
I think maybe that was too low for people to actually hear what we were saying.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
How about Patrick Reed winning the Northern Trust Open and jumping in the FedEx Cup standings from 50th to second?
Yeah.
Comfortably right behind Brooks Koepka, the world's number one golfer. But, man, I mean... quite the jump. All you got to do is win one tournament, pretty much.
It's really interesting because they've shortened it from 4 weeks to 3 weeks.
Right.
And, you know, the Northern Trust is right across. You see the Statue of Liberty. It's in New Jersey. And I watch quite a bit of it. It's an interesting format because now we go from 125 to...
70. Yep.
And that's interesting. And then... like you said, he jumped from 50th to number two. Patrick Reed hasn't even been on the radar this year.
Right.
It was his first win. But if I'm not mistaken, I think the winner gets $15 million this year, or they increase the purse. I'm not sure which of the two.
Is that really?
You can magic fingers, you can check all this stuff today. But I know they jumped the amount of money from $10 million to $15 million. That's a lot of money for the FedEx Winter. The person that wins the FedEx Cup.
I mean, 10 mil, 15 mil, it's still a
lot. What difference does it make? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, what difference does it make? But it's going to be very interesting to me because obviously, go ahead.
Yep, $15 million. I'm giving you a thumbs up. $15 million.
Yeah. $15 million the winner gets. Okay. So they've increased that. So let me paint the picture here. You brought something up to me about Tiger Woods doesn't look like he's going to make it. Well, he dropped to 38th, all right?
Yeah.
And let me paint the picture.
Okay.
He had a very bad round the first day. He was 4-5 over, shot 75, 76, somewhere in there. And, of course, it's always big news. The first thing you do is when you get to a golf tournament, the increase in attendance is automatically when he's there another 30% because people come to see Tiger Woods, all right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's legendary, and if you take the world of sports and you go back and I start asking you questions, who would you go see? Who would you go see in each sport? In baseball, who would you see?
Mike Trout, Angels.
There's no question about that.
Right.
All right? And back in the day, we've all had people, whether it be baseball, basketball, football, or hockey, that we would want to see. Well, when he got hurt, that probably hurt the attendance a little bit. But what I'm coming up with, the golf tournament this week is in Medina, which is in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
He has won the PGA Championship at Medina. He has played in the Ryder Cup tournaments there. He has played in every tournament at Medina. Okay, let's just say he had a bad round and he had a little tweak. Well, this gives him the opportunity to rest a little bit. He's still in 38th place. He still has an opportunity to get to the top 30 and to get to Atlanta, which he won that tournament last year. So my thinking is, well, Tiger, you didn't lose anything because you're not going to make the cut anyways. Now, this week, you have to play all four rounds. When you go play as the 70 players, irregardless, you play all four rounds.
That's right, no cut this time.
There's no cut.
Yeah.
So he's a bright guy, and it makes sense for him to do what he did out there, go out and shoot 70, misses a cut, big deal. He lost one round of golf. It gives him a chance. He's familiar with the golf course. I look for him to play good if he's halfway healthy.
Well, I was going to say, wouldn't it, wasn't it an oblique injury this time
yes,
around?
Yes, it was.
So, I mean, if it's left side, which is his swing side, mm-hmm. then that's not good. I mean, baseball players are out for sometimes up to a month, if not a little bit longer, with an oblique strain. So it kind of depends on the severity of it.
I agree. And it's going to be interesting. But I know in his mind that he knows if he can get to Augusta and he's healthy, he knows the golf course very well. And he has he beat Sergio Garcia there for the PGA Championship years ago. So he's a very confident player going in there. It's familiar to him, like Augusta would be. It's a traditional golf course. So I understand his thinking, and I hope he's healthy, because it would be a lot of fun to see him play very, very well and get to a point where he's in that top 30 the following week in Atlanta. It helps everything you do, Matt. It helps everything you do if he's there.
Yep, and you can't play in the Tour Championship unless you finish top 30.
Top 30, that's right.
Guys that missed out, by the way, familiar names, I think, to a lot of people that did not make the top 70.
Top 70.
That would be Sergio Garcia,
mm-hmm.
Charlie Hoffman, Bubba Watson. I think probably Bubba Watson people know more than Charlie Hoffman, but those three, Henrik Stenson, the Swedish guy, I believe. I think he's from Sweden. Those are just a few of the names of the guys that
I think that young kid named Wolf got the 70th spot. Check that for me. The young kid that just came out there won a tournament up in Minneapolis. I think he finished 70th.
Oh, no, Matthew Wolf, he dropped from 8th to – or he went from 70th to 74th.
Okay, he was 70 at one time.
Yeah, he was 70 to start.
That's right. Okay, that was it. So he's adios amigo. He's gone.
Yep, goodbye friend.
Mm-hmm. Okay, who's 69-70 that got in, out of curiosity?
Emiliano Grillo and Joaquin Niemann.
Okay. Well,
I have no idea who those guys are.
Yeah. Well, and it's an interesting year because, like I said, we've had a number of new rookies, I think five that won, and a number of first-time winners that have won. And you'll see them. They should be up in the top 70, most of them. And it's going to be a lot of fun this week for me because I got some really good friends up in Chicago. They're going to go over to the tournament. Medina is just historic in every which way possible. And it's a great field. You got to play all 72 holes. We had that tournament here, the BMW, at Belle Reve here years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
cool. That tournament's been here in St. Louis, the BMW at Belle Reve Country Club. I had a young man that I started in a game of golf when he was 18 and 19, Jay Williamson. Jay's a St. Louisan that made the top 70, and I had a chance to watch him there, which I really enjoyed. He's still a member there. It's his home golf course, and it's a lot of fun to see people get up in that top 70 because it does give you a chance to, particularly him at that period of time when he had the BMW here. He played in front of the home crowd and at his own home golf course. It was fun to watch him.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was.
There's a couple things I want to address, and I think I want to get back to the Northern Trust Open before we jump into who's got to have a good 4 days to get back or to get into the top 30. But Patrick Reed, I mean, what did you see, Mike, that made the difference between, you know, maybe him losing this type of tournament 6 months ago to him winning it now?
This is an interesting person because he won the Masters, and it was his first major. And, you know, success is hard to handle. You ought to know that, being a sports director.
Just as much as it is hard to handle failure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Success is hard to handle.
I'd rather try to handle that than success than failure.
But his first victory, mm-hmm. he kind of faded. You know, I mean, it's like Tiger this year. He won the Masters. And can you imagine how hard it would be after you've been through the drought that he's been through, finishing second at Belle Reve, winning the Tour Championship, coming back and then winning at Augusta? It's like, you take this deep breath and you say, okay, time out. It's time for me to enjoy a few things. I see this with a lot. Jordan Spieth, in my opinion, mm-hmm. is in that place right now. It is so hard to continue the grind, and I think that's what happened to Patrick Reed. But one thing I will say about him, boy, when he gets the lead, he doesn't cough it up. I mean, you'll see guys get a lead that hadn't played in a while. He is a one tough customer under pressure. He made some key 7 to 10 footers coming down the stretch, and he mentally is tough, and he's got himself back on track now. It's going to be interesting to see how he plays this week. Okay, John Rahm, I still wait for him to break through. He made bogey and when Reed made birdie, and it was kind of a changing of the tournament. But John Rahm's another one that's hungry right now, and you're going to see him play well this week.
Are you talking about on the 16th hole?
Yeah.
Because I think, actually, no. Well, Rahm bogeyed the 15.
Yep.
And then Patrick Reed wound up birding the 16.
That's what happened.
Okay.
Yes, gotcha. That's exactly what happened. And you could see that you could see things change at that point. And John Rahm, to me, is one of the most talented people that I see out there that's not winning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And but yet, he's you look at what he's done, he's up in that top 10 quite a bit out of the last 10 tournaments. And he's the type of guy that I'm kind of looking forward to watching this week. And I also want to see what Tiger does. But the second answer, I believe answer was the second player in the tournament. And I'm interested in seeing the top five whom you're telling me about. You had answer was second, and then you had another good player that was right in back of him.
Which part? Want the top five FedEx?
Top five,
Cup,
yeah.
Koepka 1, Reed 2, McIlroy 3, Kuchar.
That's in the FedEx Cup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you're talking about the Northern Trust.
Yeah, I'm talking about Northern Trust, yeah.
Reed, Abraham Answer,
yep.
Harold Varner the 3rd.
Oh, interesting story.
Okay.
He's an African American player. Okay.
Okay.
And he ended up being what he tied third.
Yeah, tied for third.
He's
with
got
John
Michael
Rahm.
Jordan stuff all over him. I got a feeling that Michael Jordan may be sponsored. I don't know if he sponsors a kid, but he's got Michael Jordan hat and Michael Jordan apparel, and I found it very interesting because I've watched him, and I don't know where he ranks in the FedEx Cup, but he finished third there, which should jump him in a pretty good spot. I don't know if he was on the bubble or not, but where is he at? I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, he went from 102 to 29th.
There you are.
Okay. Golly. I'm serious. Like it's mind-blowing how big of a jump you make when you finish top five in these tournaments.
Absolutely. And like I said, he's an African-American player. He's got Michael Jordan's hat. He's got Michael Jordan's shirt on every time I've seen him. And he's a young kid that I want to keep my eye on because he's very talented. And this was kind of a breakthrough for him. And he played very, very well, and I'm kind of curious to see how he handles the pressure this week to get in the top 30 in Atlanta.
Yeah, he didn't have a round lower than 68. He shot 67 first 2 days, 68 last 2 days.
Right, right.
It's a pretty good number.
Yeah, and he's a very talented young player. He's had his ups and downs. And like you said, he was over the 100 number, but he's, what, 29?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now he's got to watch the pressure on him, Matt, that he puts on himself to stay in the top 30 this week. Next week we'll talk about, I want to bring this up because when we see him play this week, I'm curious if he can make the top 30. That's pressure.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it is.
And that's what I'm curious about. Like, which players feel more pressure at this point? The guys that are top five in the standings or the guys that are, like, bottom, like, 25th to 30th that are, you know, that have to make
Matt,
sure they stay there?
If you were sitting at 69 or 70, there's more pressure on you than it is the top five.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. You want to get to the top 30. You got to get top 30.
Yeah.
The guys that are top five are going to be there in the top 30.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in terms of like holding on to their lead or you know, winning the whole thing. I mean, I would feel like maybe not this tournament, but the last one, the very last one, the Tour Championship, when you're top five of the top 30,
well,
I feel like there's more pressure there.
There's no difference there. There is more pressure in top five.
Yeah.
Because $15 million is at stake.
I know.
Okay. I mean, I don't care who you are in the top five, how many tournaments you won to win the FedEx Cup and you got a chance to win an extra $15 million, that takes care of all your Christmas presents.
Yeah, for like the next 15 years.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
$1 million a year on Christmas presents.
Yeah, exactly. But you take $15 million for those guys in the top five, there is a lot of pressure, you know. So we'll keep an eye on that. I'm kind of curious to see if the man can hold on to his top. He's 29. I'm gonna keep an eye on him. I'm gonna see some of the guys that maybe can win the tournament. Go do what Reed did. Come from 50 to 2. That's gonna be interesting because that sets up the following week. So there's a lot of things to watch. Plus, I really do enjoy Medina. I'm familiar with the golf course, and it should be a fun week to watch golf to see who can get to that 30 and see what Tiger does this week.
Yeah, I was going to go through the list of guys that are outside the top 30 that need to have a good weekend, a good 4 days, if you will. We're talking Hideki Matsuyama still has a chance to get there. Francesco Molinari, mm-hmm. Molinari. JT Poston, who won the mm-hmm. tournament two weekends ago. Of course, Tiger Woods at 38th right now. You've also got Jordan Spieth, who actually finished really good, finished top six.
Yeah, he had a good start. He's in position to where it's going to be fun to watch him to see if he can. He missed it last year. He was 31st.
Right. Last year. Yeah, he was the one that just missed it. Yeah.
But he'd be okay. I think he'd be fine. He'll get in this year.
So he's 44th right now. You got Phil Mickelson, who still has a shot to get top 30. Jason Day.
Tiger's 38, right?
Yep, Tiger's. Yep, 38th.
Mm-hmm.
You got J.B. Holmes, who's 52nd.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are some of the names I think more people are familiar with than the guys that did not crack the top 70.
This answer.
Jim Furyk also, by the way.
Is Furyk, where's he at?
He's 48.
Oh, I got to tell you something.
Okay.
I couldn't wait to tell you. I knew a couple of weeks ago, but I can tell you now that Jim Furyk is coming to our annual gala dinner. Ozzie Smith has invited Jim Furyk, who is a Ryder Cup captain, who's won the U.S. Open. And I'll get you, I think it's September the 12th, but I'll get the exact date. He will be here in town for our gala. We're going to have the tournament over to Meadowbrook. And, of course, that Sunday night, I'll get you more information. But we've had Hank Aaron in town. We've had Eddie Murray, who we went to high school with. We've had Bob Gibson. We've had Whitey. We've had Willie McGee. Who's the guy that had the longest streak ever, the Baltimore Oriole?
Cal Ripken Jr.
Cal Ripken Jr., we've had him. The list goes on and on. We've had the great running back, Allen, that played for the Raiders.
Oh, Gary Allen?
No, it isn't Gary.
Not Gary?
But we've had Eric Dickerson with him.
Maybe Lamont Allen or something?
No, he played for the Oakland Raiders. We had him last year with
Marcus Allen.
Marcus Allen, sure. Go. Marcus Allen.
Sorry, Marcus.
That's okay.
He's not listening.
Ozzie's had who's who in baseball and football and everything else. And he called me. I was up in Port Huron that day. He called me that Saturday and told me we got Jim Furyk coming in. And I got to tell you a story that the people will enjoy. That week of the PGA Championship, from that Monday to that Sunday, I became a fan. This is an add-on. You'll enjoy this. So, you know, each day I had someone to go with. First day, Kurt and KJFF people went. The next day, I took a lady. And the next day, I took my dentist, which is always smart to do. And then Thursday and Friday, I had Bronny in town. So Saturday, I take my son and his grandson. So Sunday, I take my son-in-law, who coaches here in Festus, and my little granddaughter. And I said to her, where do you want to go to the tournament? And she says, Grandpa, I want to go stand by where the players come by. So we're standing on the 16th hole. Coming off the green is Jim Furyk and Fluff. Fluff used to caddy for Tiger. I'm sitting there with my little granddaughter. Fluff takes a golf ball from Jim Furyk, hands it to my granddaughter, Faith, who's sitting there on the cart path, giving my little granddaughter a golf ball. Now, that's a memory. I can't wait to see Jim Furyk to tell him that story.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
He'll love that story.
Yeah. Isn't that cool, though?
Yeah.
I became a fan of golf because I saw the way the players handle the crowd. And it was continuous, signing autographs, doing stuff like that. And of all people, Jim Furyk will be here, so we'll talk a little bit about that once I get enough information.
And what is the name of your gala, by the way?
It's for the Gateway PGA Reach,
okay.
Which, you know, I've been a part of. We were PGA Foundation, became PGA Reach, and each year it moves on. The ambassador goes from Ozzie to the next guy to the next guy. But this is for PGA Reach. It helps fund all our programs, and it'll be a lot of fun to have Jim Furyk in and tell him the story about what Fluff did with my little granddaughter.
If he's not smiling from ear to ear, I'll be shocked.
I will too.
Okay.
And don't think I won't tell him the story. I will.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You said that the golf course at Medina is more of a traditional golf course, which is why you're not too worried about Tiger Woods. If he decides to play, you're not too worried about him not cracking the top 30. But When you say traditional, what does that mean for our average
listener?
That's a
good question on your part.
Thank you.
A traditional,
by average listener, I mean me.
Traditional golf course is one in which is built back in the 1910s, 20s, and 30s. Okay, old style golf courses. You take Wingfoot out in White Plains. It's an older design. It'd be like Ross or McKenzie. It wouldn't be a modern era design person. You didn't have back when they built the older golf courses. They built a more tree line. They were tree line tight because you didn't have a lot of money or a lot of room. And most of them are built on less acreage. Marion in Philadelphia is built on like 107 acres. Most of your traditional golf courses are built on smaller acreage. And Medina is one of those golf courses that's traditionally tree-line tight. And you have golf holes that aren't wide open. Most of your designers today are building golf courses either on link style with no trees or there's a lot of room off the tee. So basically, tighter driving and smaller greens, even though they have been redesigned, a lot of the golf courses.
Okay.
But when I say traditional, I think the U.S. Open, if I'm not mistaken, might be at Wingfoot next year. Oakland Hills in Detroit is traditional. Medina in Chicago is traditional. Pebble Beach is traditional because even though it's links course, it was old style.
Okay.
It's like me. Old style, and you're young, you're like millennials. That's the difference right there.
Gotcha.
Okay?
You could have just said that.
Yeah, that would have been easier.
If you would have just said, well, it's like me.
I'm old.
I'm old, and I'm traditional.
I'm traditional. Okay, good enough.
all right, well, good deal. So, yeah, that's the second of three FedEx Cup events, the BMW Championship at Medina, and then, of course, the following weekend, the 22nd through the 25th, will be the Tour Championship, the top 30 FedEx Cup point getters, if you will. But yeah, some new guys into the top 30.
Yep.
As we mentioned already, Patrick Reed, Abraham Answer. Also, we've got, again,
Harold Varner.
Harold Varner.
And then
Louis Oosthuizen went from 51st to 28th. So those are the four new guys into the top 30.
It'll be exciting, and it'll be fun for us who enjoy golf to watch Medina, which we've seen, you know, PGA, we've seen Ryder Cup, and we've seen U.S. Open there.
Yeah, beg your pardon. Actually, there's three more. I can't obviously do math. Brant Snedeker is another guy that was outside the top 30, now in the top 30. As I mentioned, Louis Oosthuizen, Corey Connors, and then Andrew Putnam, who's right there at 30th. So there you go. It's like six new guys into the top 30.
It'll be fun.
This past weekend.
We'll talk about it next week and keep an eye on those people we're talking about.
All right, good deal. I know I want to squeeze in a little Festus Post 253 talk just because, you know, what an outstanding performance.
Before you squeeze that in, there's a couple of things. I have known Pat Bone for years, and his son, Zach, has preceded him.
Mm-hmm.
And people say to me when I travel, where are you from? Festus, Missouri. And I said, I'll tell you one thing we have. We have some of the best Legion teams anywhere. Our kids, once you put them together, compete against anybody in the country. And I know Pat did a great job. Now his son, 10 years later, we got these kids in the World Series, and I'm anxious to hear some of the kids of the names. I would also ask you this. I would like to know what schools they went to.
Okay.
You being the sports director and the baseball man you are, I know you have that answer.
I can pretty much remember every single school those kids go to.
And I would like to hear where the kids came from because I'm always interested when our kids do something like this. It's going to be a lot of fun to listen.
Okay, we'll definitely cover that, and also breaking news out of the St. Louis Cardinals camp, if you will. Not really a camp, but you know what I mean. They have fired assistant hitting coach Mark Badaska. This coming on the heels of an 11-9, you know, slugfest against Pittsburgh yesterday.
What a cop-out that is. Well, when you're paying somebody $12, $14 million, it can't hit over 250.
Well, I'm wondering if that's a bit of a head-scratcher decision or the right decision. We'll talk about that and Festus.
We'll talk about that's nuts.
All right. We got Mike's opinion on it. Yeah. But stick around. We got more stuff to talk about here on KJ Sports Talk, powered by your local McDonald's. Matt Greenwood, Mike Murphy, turning the music up as we talk some baseball here to wrap up our Sports Talk Show, powered by your local McDonald's. Tasty breakfast fast, where your Egg McMuffin is always made with a freshly cracked egg. Another great reason to wake up to the favorites you love. Got a little north of 6 minutes left in our show, so Mike and I are going to cover that with some Festus Post 253 baseball talk. And if we have 10 seconds to squeeze in some Cardinals talk, we'll talk about their, or we'll discuss their firing of assistant hitting coach Mark Badaska. You may have caught Mike Murphy's comments right at the very end going to break. He called it a cop-out. I tend to agree with that assessment of that. But again, we'll touch on that later. Mm-hmm. But just in case you haven't heard, the Festus Post 253 baseball team, the American Legion baseball team, is on to the American Legion World Series in Shelby, North Carolina, after they were able to win the Mid-South Regional this past week. They went 4-1 in the regional, topping it off with an 8-3 victory over Bryant behind an outstanding pitching performance from Jeremy Eisenman, who will be heading to Maryville, a St. Pius product, who went 7 innings and held a very good Bryant team to just 3 runs.
Where was the team from?
From Arkansas. Oh. Bryant, Arkansas.
Yeah, it's good to beat them Razorbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Future Razorbacks, maybe. Who knows?
Sure.
I know you're a Bama fan and all that stuff.
That's okay. We need to beat Arkansas.
Yeah. But Bryant had beaten Hastings. Hastings was the host team. Mm-hmm. They were there because they were the host team. They didn't win their state tournament, much like Festus, but because they were the host, they got to participate in the regional, and they almost made it to the championship. They actually beat Festus, but because of the way sort of the rules worked out, Hastings had to play Bryant. Even after they beat Festus. So Bryant beat Hastings. Hastings got knocked out. Then it was Bryant Festus. Festus beat Bryant for the second time.
Give me an idea of some of the kids. I mean, and I know you do all the games here, and it's always fun for me to see the makeup of our teams that go to the World Series here. Where are some of the kids from?
Well, let's see. We can start with Festus. There's Charlie Pratt, who's a pitcher/third baseman. There's Eddie Martin, who is a shortstop/third baseman as well. He can play a little bit of second
Festus
base.
Kid. Mm-hmm.
Festus,
okay.
Guys. I might be leaving.
St. Pius has.
Yeah, St. Pius had Jeremy Eisenman and Caleb Schweigert.
You said he was going to Maryville?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the other boys going?
Schweigert? That's a good question, Mike. I don't remember at
there
this
was a,
time.
There was a young man that you mentioned that's already out east playing ball. I guess he's not on the team.
West, actually, Michael Brewer. He got drafted by the Texas Rangers.
Yes.
And he's doing some extended spring training baseball in Arizona. So
he's not on the team.
Right, and he's a Hillsborough guy.
Okay.
Isaac Hamilton, who we address in our sportscast, he's a clutch catcher that drove. So I think it was like a 3-2 game, and the bases were loaded for Festus. This is against Bryant yesterday, and he ripped a 3-run double into left field.
Mm.
And that widened the game to 6-2, and of course Festus.
You know, I know Coach Montgomery from Festus, and it's always fun for me to. I keep up with the stuff that you do and the radios and so on and so forth. But I really have to say honestly, I wait for the Legion team.
Yeah,
because our Legion,
it's like an all-star team of Jefferson County athletes.
Yeah, and we do very, very well.
DeSoto's got a great team as well. Rock Memorial,
right,
puts up a good team every year. So
yeah. Our kids in this part of the country, I tell people, I said, just look out. I said, every now and then we'll pop through and get back to the World Series. So it's been 10 years, and we'll see it. When do they start?
Thursday.
And they're in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. I haven't looked at the tournament yet just to see their first-round opponent is, but it's double elimination format just like everything else. So, but, yeah, I mean, other guys, Cole Biot, who's going to be a junior at R7.
If I had a plane, Matt, I'd fly you down there so you could broadcast it.
I know, right?
I would.
Yeah.
Think twice. I think it'd be great. Will we be able to hear any games? Or
We're working on that.
Okay.
My understanding is ESPN3 is going to be there,
right?
Showing the games. So we'll work on that tomorrow. And
good.
Let our
I would be interested
know
sure. in knowing, and I'm sure our listeners are the same. That if we can, if we can catch a broadcast, we'd kind of find out how our boys are doing.
Yeah, it'd be nice. But to finish off, reeling off some guys in schools, like I said, Colby Ott from R7, Levi Ebersalt from R7, Jordan Duncan from Herculaneum. I mean, honestly, that kid's going places if he can stay healthy in his
now,
baseball
are these
career.
Basically seniors-to-be or graduating seniors? What's the age group there?
Some are seniors. Most of them are going to be seniors.
Seniors.
Colby Ott's going to be a junior.
Where does he play?
R7, Jefferson.
Okay.
Levi Ebersalt's going to be a senior. Jordan Duncan at Herculaneum is going to be a senior. Eddie Martin, Charlie Pratt are off to college. Eddie Martin to Fontbonne and Charlie Pratt to St. Louis Community College. Christian Hancock is a Hillsboro guy, shortstop slash pitcher, who's going to Mineral Area College. Jacob Melton, who we mentioned in sports, is an R7 guy going to Mineral Area College. So it's a heavy loaded team.
You know, as competitive as our kids are, it's nice to see them on an all-star team like this come together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's a very competitive area, and I know the rivalries that they've had over the years here. And I've often said it's nice to see all-star teams because it brings people together in our community. Mm-hmm. That's what this does.
Yep. So, yeah, Festus Post 253 in the American Legion Baseball World Series in Shelby, North Carolina, beginning on Thursday. All right, Mike, we got 30 seconds to talk about the firing of assistant hitting coach Mark Badaska of the St. Louis Cardinals. Head scratcher? Or
no, that's just a cop-out on a general manager's part. That
I mean, it is a head-scratcher.
No, it's not, because our guys aren't hitting. You got to blame somebody.
Okay.
And when you pay guys $15 million over the course of the last couple of years and hitting the way they do, you can't blame it on a hitting coach, you know. But he's the first one to go, and the next one will go be the hitting coach above that. But the real change is, if we don't get things turned around, I take a look at our general manager.
Okay. From Mike Murphy's lips to the KJF Mike.
Yep.
Thanks, Mike. See what I did there. All right, that's it for our show. Take care. News is next. ABC News is next.